Good morning.
I'd
like to welcome everyone to our worship service this beautiful Sunday, first Sunday of spring. It's really a nice day to come out and worship the Lord. I have a few announcements before the service. Just remind everyone that this coming Wednesday, we will have our third installment of Lenten Bible study. Reverend John Lucey will be the speaker. He's retired Unity Presbyterian minister. So that's Wednesday night. Meal is included. We also want to welcome Dr. McDonald back to our pulpit this morning after a little brief incident. It's going to keep on for a while, I think, but he's back with us this week. Just remind everyone of the call session meeting Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. That's a little out of the norm, but we have a subject that we need to discuss. And I want to call everybody's attention or get you to look at the website. Our communication committee, headed up by Fred Baker, has done a great job of organizing and including everything that we do on a weekly basis. If you need to know anything that's going on in the church during the week, or coming weeks, actually, check out the website. They're doing a great job with it. And I think that's pretty much it. I would ask everyone to sign the guest register. It's along every pew to sign it, and that way we'll have a record of your attendance. And with that, let us worship God. This time I'd like to call on John Paris for a minute for stewardship.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone. Happy spring. I hope it starts warming up. This morning, I'm going to steal a method to deliver a message from someone we all know and love. And that would be Pastor Joe. So today's Minute for Stewardship will focus on three words: theme, t-shirts, and recognition. The first word is theme. So the committee's been working hard to develop a stewardship theme for 2019. This year's committee, by the way, this year's committee consists of Dr. McDonald, Jean Hayes, Nicole Brathy, Joan Reynolds, and myself. So the theme we came up with for this year was many gifts in one spirit. And it's based on 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. And I'm going to go through that. And this is a Good News Translation reading of it. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives the ability to all for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of us all. And we thought this was a very appropriate theme, since we have so many people in this church that are so talented and have so many different gifts. The committee also looked for ways to promote this theme both inside the church and outside the church. And that brings us to the second word, and that's t-shirts. We designed t-shirts with the theme of First Presbyterian's 2019 stewardship theme on the front pocket of the shirt, along with the words First Presbyterian. And on the back, we put a word cloud, which is just a collection of words, different colors, going in different directions. And it's based on a congregational survey that was done about things that we do really well in this church. And the thought is that the word cloud is a very interesting thing. People ask, well, what does that mean? And, you know, people can then tell them and promote the church. So I have a couple t-shirts here to look at. These are the colors that we chose. We have a nice Carolina blue. Sorry. We have a gray, and we have a salmon. Not pink, it's salmon. And then we have a yellow. And you can see on the front, we have First Presbyterian Church, Danville, Virginia, many gifts, one spirit. And on the back, we have the word cloud. And word cloud's very interesting. So, I know a lot of people are probably saying that, you know, I don't wear t-shirts. Well, everybody needs a t-shirt for something. You can wear them at church events. And let me finish before we get going on that. Wednesday night dinner is a great time to wear them once it warms up a little bit. Or you can wear them over another shirt. Picnics, the Saturday lunch ministry, even on a casual Sunday, which, by the way, is next week, so don't forget that. But it's important that we wear t-shirts outside of church to promote the many things that the church does. Now everyone has an opportunity to wear a t-shirt outside, whether you're going to the Y, whether you're working in the yard, whatever the case may be. We also plan to provide our day school students and staff with t-shirts for them to wear primarily on day school Sunday, which is April 7th, but we also hope to wear them many times to continually support and promote the day school and First Presbyterian Church. So how are we going to roll these t-shirts out? That brings us to the third word. What was the third word? Recognition. Great. Stewardship means different things to different people. With that in mind, the Stewardship Committee has been recognizing individuals for their special act of stewardship for over the past 2 years we've been doing this. To date, we do this in Stewardship in Action, which is in the monthly newsletter. We usually pick one person. Sometimes we'll pick a couple. So it's just that's how it goes. We've also got a list of people set up to do a Stewardship in Action on for this year. So far we've done 21 people, and we featured these in the articles. And these gifts that they have range from sending birthday cards to everyone. And one was even labeled as a saint by their spouse. So that one's a very special one. And it wasn't me. And here's a sample of some of the special acts and all the articles put together. I went out and just picked out various words or phrases. So we have Sunday school teacher, photographer, face of the church, serves on the diaconate, serves on the session, leads Saturday lunch Bible study, serves on committees, missions, membership, VIP, finance, stewardship, Christian education, worship, kitchen, PNC, transition, serves in the chancel choir, serves in the good news choir, serves in the handbell choir, presents young disciples, is a saint, active in visitation, Saturday lunch organizer, master diplomat and or negotiator, food prep cleanup, organizes collections, clerk of session, master organizer, scheduler, communicator, church youth programs, mission trips, Wednesday night dinner prep, maintenance and upkeep of the church, sermons, Bible study leader, master of financials, serves in the presbytery, VIP, evening circle leader, planner of many receptions, sound system, community volunteer, honorary life member of Presbyterian Women, Wednesday night dinner host, liturgist, helps with the day school, prepares birthday cards, et cetera, et cetera. So we have these people, we see we have a lot of different gifts in this church. To recognize this group, we want to present them with a t-shirt. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the t-shirts yet. We hope to get them on Monday. So we plan on doing this next week. If I call your name, you can come by and pick up a t-shirt before service if you want to wear it in service next week. Or you can pick it up after service in the juice room. We'll have them. And also, let me just go through that name of people real quick. If they're here, please stand to be recognized. We have Naughty Wiseman, Charles and Lib Cuddle, Marie Louise Crane, Kent Shelton, Roy Pinkney, David Swan, Brenna Takata, Ruth Meadows, Bob Noonan, Joyce Perez, Tom Gillespie, Bill and Betty Fitzgerald, Pat Argyrakis, Linda Copeland, C.B. Strange, Charlotte Lowther, Tom Barrett, Ray Beal, Gwen Balcom. So as you can see, it's a lot of people. Let's give those people a hand. Thank y'all so much. And so everyone can have a T-shirt. We're going to offer T-shirts. Again, they're going to be available before service next week in the juice room and after service. If you weren't in that group, you probably will be in that group at some point in time, but it takes us a long time to get to everyone. But if you want to have a T-shirt now, come by the juice room and pick one up. Only thing we ask is that you leave a small gift, $1, $5, a promise to serve on a committee if you don't already serve, or what other acts of stewardship that you can think of. And we will see you. Also, you have the colors. Oh, I went through the colors, sorry. That's the T-shirt. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you, John. Let us join together now in the responsive call to worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Seek the eternal one who may be found. Call upon God while the Spirit is near. Our hymn of praise this morning is 229, From All That Dwell Below the Sky. Please be seated. Let us join together now corporately in the prayer of confession, followed by silent prayers as we continue our prayers to God. Holy God, how exalted are your ways. Holy Spirit, how sinless is your life. Holy Spirit, how pure is your nature. Whatever progress made along the road of righteousness, we are far behind the advance of your Son, Jesus. Continue to call us back when we go off on a tangent and recall us to the upward way, for we will be ready to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Accept the assurance of pardon. Friends, hear the good news. God comes to free us from slavery to every passion. Friends, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Children can't come forward, please.
We should be on now. Yes, we are. All right, I need as many as you can get. I'm prepared for at least 10, so if anybody wants to join them.
Ray, if you'll hold on, I need two hands on this one.
Either read you a Bible story, or I could tell you one. It's easier to just tell you one and use a different example. Now, I know a guy, and he runs a flower company, and he grows flowers. And he delivers flowers to a retailer and says, I want you to sell my flowers. And anytime I show up, I want you to be ready to give the flowers to the folks, and they'll sell them. So I went by looking at his flower store, and I saw these two flowers. What's different about them?
One's dead and one is not. Yeah, one's dead and one's not.
Okay. One is doing okay. One's not. Right? Now, the guy who runs the flower company, the big-time farmer, well, he's got this rule. He says, if I show up and I need some flowers, and you send them to the store, and they're looking like this, to the dumpster. What do you think is going to happen to this guy?
Dumpster.
In the dumpster. Any question about that? Anybody disagree? The flower that's got hurts goes to the dumpster, right? Isn't that the way it works?
I agree.
Okay. Now, that's what everybody tells you, that if this one's struggling and that one's doing pretty good, this one goes to the dumpster and that one's okay. Well, what happens if I try to tell you this guy got stepped on? No, that isn't what happened. This guy got put in the shade. No, this guy didn't get any rain. This guy didn't get any fertilizer. This guy needs special attention because he had gotten a late start by 2 weeks. This guy happened to be left-handed. Well, how come this happened to this guy and it didn't happen to this guy?
Because the one that is good, it had the right amount of water and sun.
Would it surprise you at all if I told you that the guy who runs the big time flower? See, look, this one's kind of pitiful. But you know what happened? The guy who ran the big flower company took a look at it and he said, well, what do you think about this guy? You want it to go to the dumpster or what? What do you think happened? He's going to give it a chance. He's going to say, look, I'll give you some time. Now, look, time's not unlimited. Next time I come, if this guy's not doing something like showing flowers or doing what it's supposed to do, to the dumpster. But I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to be kind, and I'm going to let the big gardener have another shot at you. So I don't want to hear excuses. I want, time's running, the clock's running. Can you fix this guy?
Yes.
You think?
Yes.
You willing to give it a go?
I will.
Do you have unlimited time?
No.
So you're feeling a little pressure now, right? This morning's Bible lesson is kind of like that story. What should have happened is this dude should have gone to the dumpster first shot, right?
But
just like this one's different from this one, God's different from us. And he looked at it and says, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do better. Okay, now this one, we're going to be really unfair. This one's going to get everything it needs, but it doesn't have unlimited time. Does it? Because the next time the guy comes back, he says, you're still acting like that? To the dumpster. I got a problem. I don't know how much time. So do I need to hurry and get working on this guy? Oh, maybe that's what this whole Bible story is about. I don't know how much time. All I know is I better get hustling, right?
Yes.
Right. Because it says, if this guy's not working, and this guy's not blooming or having fruit or doing something that it's supposed to do, out it goes to the dumpster, right? And we don't want that to happen, do we? That's true, but he doesn't always say it the first time around. Sometimes he cuts you some slack and says, look, I love you, and I'm going to work with you, and I'm going to keep working on you until you get it right. And we have a big word. Actually, it's a little teeny word, but it means huge things. When you hear people say grace, that's it. I'm going to show a little patience, a little kindness. I'm going to give you some extra effort because I want you to be growing and doing the right thing next time I come back. Right? I'm it. You want to say a quick prayer? Dear God, thanks for your patience, your love, your kindness, and the incredible things you do for us, up to and including dying, if that's what it takes. Amen.
Thank you, Tom. Let's join together now in the prayer for illumination. God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, may we hear your eternal word that does not change. Then may we respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you may have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations to know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. It is good to be here. And I wanted to, before I got into the scripture and got into my sermon, I did want to thank everyone for their thoughts and prayers. They were greatly appreciated and felt. It is always great. I'm always grateful to be part of the body of Christ, and never more so than this past week. And thank you all for your thoughts and prayers. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, the first 9 verses. Hear now the word of God. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told them this parable, and it's the one that Tom was talking about with the children. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is one of my favorite times of year. Not only are the flowers beginning to sprout out of the ground and the buds are appearing on the trees and beginning to turn green, the Lenten devotions and Bible studies bring renewed focus on our faith. But let's face it, it's also NCAA tournament time. Now, Ellen kind of accused me of planning these blood clots so that I would not miss the first week of the tournament. But that is not exactly true. But I have always love basketball and love watching college basketball. I have always rooted for the underdogs in the tournament. The Loyola of Chicago's with their 90-year-old nun rooting for them. The Butler Bulldogs that came just seconds away from beating Mighty Duke in the championship game a few years back. And I can still see Richardson's last second heave off the backboard as my beloved Davidson Wildcats, led by Steph Curry, came within an eye blink of beating eventual national champion Kansas in 2008. Now, I can understand if you are an alumnus of one of these big schools or live in the proximity of one of the big power schools. I still root for Maryland, the school that I rooted for growing up, because I live literally 10 miles away. But let's face it, the little guys are much more fun to root for. Now, when I think of this fig tree that Jesus speaks of in the parable from today's gospel, I think of the little guys, the unappreciated, the underappreciated, those who are not appreciated at all, those who are overlooked, who are somehow seen as unproductive, the non-winners, the Charlie Brown Christmas trees of whatever world you live in. It all reminds me of that fig tree in Jesus' parable. In some ways, all my ministries, except for one, have been in towns that have seen better days. Danville had its economic heyday a couple of decades back. The part of Waynesboro I ministered to had a long since lost its economic luster. Marlinton in West Virginia, although it's amidst beautiful natural mountains surroundings, is an economically depressed area. Buena Vista, although it lives up to its name with gorgeous views all around, had seen its economy literally washed away by repeated floods and shifting economic forces. Even Broadway, my first pastorate, had one legend that told that it got its name of Broadway because it was so rowdy at one point that it was seen as the Broadway to the netherworld. And yet in all of those places, God's love was being shared. God's people were being touched and nurtured. Ministry was and is being done. Because people in all of those underappreciated places continue to nurture the people of God in order that they may bear fruit and bear it abundantly. A little digging, a little preparing of the spiritual dirt of our lives, a little tender care, and any place, any church, any life can flourish and grow in faith. Presbyterian Outlook editor Jill Duffield told of an experience that she had attending a ministry called the Community Renewal. It was a weekly Quaker-style gathering where the people felt, if they felt moved to speak, they spoke. If they didn't, they remained silent. It was a simple practice, yet one that when Duffield attended it, deeply moved her. The meeting she attended was held in this large room, soon filled with a diverse group of people, sitting in a circle of chairs around and in the entire perimeter of the space. They read one psalm, and then they read another one, and then the people spoke or didn't, but they gave thanks. They named where they had seen God at work in their community, laughing, asking for prayer, praising both the intervention of the Holy Spirit and the tangible support of the body of Christ. Duffield sat in the corner of the room listening, heartened by the evidence of relationships built across differences that our society too often sees as impermeable and permanent. At one point, someone recounted the joy of seeing several community members complete an educational program and obtain their GEDs, something that they had tried repeatedly to do. But they had stuck with it, finally passed, and overcame significant barriers in their success. Duffield described feeling humbled, knowing how often even small impediments had thwarted her determination through the years. The grit of the students and the grit of their teachers impressed her. How often have we felt written off, tabled, unreachable, been cut down to size, dismissed or rendered invisible, in short, made to feel like losers or that plant that Tom had? Gregory C. Ellison, in his book, Fear Plus Less Dialogues, A New Movement for Justice, once said that building on the words of W.E.B. Du Bois, posed this question: how does it feel to be a problem? He writes, you may be a retired wealthy white man, or a young Hispanic woman trailblazing a path. Have you felt this way? I don't know your pain, but your inner teacher feels it. How does it feel to be assessed by others and labeled as unreachable, as a waste of soil, as not worthy of the space you occupy. So many of you who have been teachers know that the challenge oftentimes with students is not the math or the writing or the reading, so much as overcoming the reluctance to once again enter a realm where one has been named a problem, where one has been labeled unreachable, judged, and written off. The unbending truth of this test from Luke is that no human being gets to say when the time for transformation is up. That is Jesus' call, and his alone. Clearly, the stories of the Galileans and the ones of Siloam reveal the reality that the time for repentance and change and turning and transformation is not infinite. But only God gets to say when that time is up. Further, in this time between barrenness and fruit bearing, Jesus does not sit back and watch idly, counting the days until the axe will come down on the root. The Spirit blows where it wills. The word of the Lord refuses to return empty. God is doing a new thing. We are a new creation in Christ. Jesus gets his hands dirty, not so much worried about washing them before dinner as using them to touch lepers, to welcome children, and prepare people for new growth. Jesus stretches out his arms on the cross to reach out to those deemed unreachable, the Gentiles, the tax collectors, and the sinners. He sends out his followers to preach, to teach, to heal, and proclaim the good news, pointing to a life in a world awash in premature death. The same can be said for congregations. How many of the traditional mainline denominations are telling themselves this morning that there is no hope for us? We are the withering fig tree, past our prime and waiting to die off. But there is one who wants to dig around our foundations and re-fertilize us with a renewed spirit, the love of God with us. The passion that Christ has to work through us is still there. It has never died out. It has never lagged in any way. How do we know? Because I read the words on the back of the t-shirt that the stewardship and vision committees are putting out. You can say to me, well, these are just stupid t-shirts. And in one sense, they truly are. They are just shirts made of cloth and stenciled with a design, an attractive design, similar to the one you might get at the beach. But it's the words on the t-shirt that are transformative. They are words that all of you came up with in response to Joyce's question about what you loved about this church. Love, pray, thankfulness, God. Do the dirty work of living those words with God's grace-filled power. Live into the vision that Paul gives the Corinthians and gives to us to have many gifts and one spirit. That is a wonderful challenge. You know, back at Epiphany, I gave out those little words. And once again, it was kind of a gimmicky thing to do. But they were some of the same words that are on the back of those t-shirts. Every participant in this church has been given a gift by God, more than one gift, to use for God's purposes. Teachers, preachers, healers, administrators, miracle workers. John had many others that he listed. But those are just some of the gifts. There are gifts that we may never know we had until the Holy Spirit speaks to us and inspires us. Maybe they are gifts that we know we've had, but for one reason or another, we just haven't, until the appropriate time, used them. What we are reminded by wearing those t-shirts is now is the appropriate place. Now is the appropriate time to share those gifts. Our lives may seem as dead as a fig tree or as silly as a colorful t-shirt. But we are never losers when we are fertilized and inspired by God our Father, when we are led by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and when we are nurtured by the power of the Holy Spirit. So whether you buy one of those t-shirts or not, live into the words that are on the back. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed found in your aids to the worship. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended from heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's remain standing and sing our next hymn, our hymn of response, 383, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
I thank God to thee.
Please be seated. All right, we have all of our folks on the prayer list, but are there other joys or concerns that folks would like to share today? Iris and family, okay. Thank you for reminding me. Anybody else? All right, if not, let us continue our worship and prayer. God of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Leah, Rachel, Moses, Zipporah, countless men of women and women of the promise, you are remembered throughout generations as the God who will be what you will be. We give you thanks that through Christ we can know you. By your Spirit we sense your presence among us, yet we are not consumed. Speak and we shall listen. Send us forth and we shall serve you. Gather us and we shall worship your holy name. All blessing and honor and glory be to you, God, who was and is and evermore shall be. Yet who are we that you should speak to us? Christ calls us to follow, and we hesitate to do his bidding. Our ears pound with anxieties that afflict us, drowning out the cries of our neighbors. Clear the channels of communication of whatever keeps us from hearing your voice, and make us effective spokespersons of Christ's summons to ministry. We shall go where you send us, and we shall strive to do whatever you command. Armed with the mercy that you bestow on us, how can we fail if we but remain faithful? Yet we admit our unworthiness of so great a distinction. Any gifts we have are a result of your grace. We yearn to please you, O God, as a response to the favor you have shown us. We want our faith to amount to more than casual observance of days and ceremonies. We are sorry for our past, which has been less well-pleasing, and look to a future of absorbing commitment. Through Christ, receive us anew as your faithful people. We commit ourselves to the ministry of prayer, of lifting up our friends, our family, strangers, people from around the globe. We lift up to you all those people in places of conflict, whether that be in Togo or Syria or throughout the globe. Bring peace, bring comfort, bring justice, bring your love. Help those whose job it is to do that through the armed forces, through our first responders, through our diplomatic corps, through our governments. Guide them even when they don't seek your help, Lord. Be with all those who have special needs, whether that be health or the mourning of lost loved ones. We ask that you be with the Ierson family, that you would be with all those who mourn the loss of loved ones. Bring them the blessed assurance of your never-ending love. Be with those such as Claudine and Amy, Lisa and Will, Charles and Lib, Matthew, Diane, Fred, Carolyn, Martha Jo, Greg, Bobby, Gail, and Laura. Be with Beth and Bill. Be with Dana. Be with Sally and Meg, Friel and Ella. We continue to pray for Jim, for Willem, for Nulty, for Bill and Ann, for all those who are on the mend. And we give you thanks that you are at work within James Sr. and James Jr., Helen and Kathleen and Diane. Lord, hear our prayers and bind us together as your people as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will the deacons come forward for the morning offering? Let us pray. God of all creation, who caused the manna to rain down from heaven, the land to bear fruit, and the parched grain to sustain your people, we come bearing gifts in response to your goodness. You are with us in lean times when the bounty is great. We shall not forget you. As in Christ we need daily the bread of new life, so through Christ we dedicate ourselves to your abiding covenant. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. And our final hymn this morning is one of the great ones of the faith, number 280, Amazing Grace.